Lawrence Show. Yeah, I get all of 15 minutes. So we're going to try and jam all of this into 15 minutes as much as we can anyway. Tell you what, we have got some fun things out there. We got a nice video today. If you hate those headlines on the internet where it says, click here, you won't believe what happens. We've all seen that. This video is for you. So I'm going to say, click here, you won't believe this video. Okay, anyway. In all seriousness, this video of the day that we've got in our blog section, this will tell you that one thing that is so wrong with the internet. Got to check it out in the blog section, WKZO.com, down below the news area, or better yet, on our Facebook page, WKZO.com. Click on the Facebook link up at the top. Like us. If you haven't done that already, you'll be able to not only watch it, but comment on it. And why not? You could comment on that, or if you happen to like it an awful lot, this might be something that, you know, normally these things will say, hey, this is the best part of your day, share it with your friends. But in this case, I really mean it when I say share it with your friends.
We're not joking around here.
Certainly not. No, you're going to like this video, so you got to check it out. That's the video of the day. Interestingly enough, I mean, there's a lot of news going on and more than what we can fit into these next 14 minutes or so. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and cover as much as we can right now. And then I'm going to encourage you tomorrow that we're going to get together and it is going to be a full 2 hours. I know we're talking about the day before Independence Day and, you know, a lot of people are going to be checked out. But I encourage you, check in for that couple of hours. We got some good stuff. We really have some great stuff that we're going to be bringing to you. So make sure that you're with us for that. Now, the one thing I wanted to dig into today a little bit, Fortune magazine has an article, Fortune.com, and I found this interesting because I've done some reading up on some of these, and there are things that are on this list that are absolutely true based on other sources I've read. Fortune is going through the four signs the economy is about to tank. Now, I'm not trying to scare you or anything, and I don't know that the economy is about to tank, but here's what they say is happening. Now, the first thing that they cite is that there were some revised statistics about the first quarter of the year showing that the economy actually shrank at 2.9% in the first quarter. Oddly enough, we're not hearing a whole lot about, but the economy shrinking, that's usually not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
Now, they're saying, well, all right, that's the winter, and okay, I might buy a little bit of that. But the Fed at this point is saying that the economy will grow somewhere this year between 2.1 and 2.3%. Also not good. Because originally they were thinking 3%, and the Fed usually forecasts growth that's a bit more robust than what it actually is. They tend to overestimate. And they have since the quote-unquote end of the financial crisis. Now, Fortune magazine dug into some of the numbers and said, you know what? The economy could very well be in trouble. Here are the thoughts that they had on that. First off, they said that 23-year-olds are having some problems. They're having problems because of a couple of things. Well, first of all, student loan debt. How many 23-year-olds do you know that have to deal with student loans and starting to pay them off? And there's a little bit of a problem with that. Because while there's not necessarily a ton of people with, you know, into the six figures and that kind of thing, you're talking about five figures of debt, and you're talking about quite a bit of it. And to top that off, how many 23-year-olds are continuing to find good-paying jobs?
Not many out there.
I mean, I saw a figure just earlier today that pegged the young unemployment rate, and we were talking 25 and below in this, at 19.6%. 19.6. That is not good. If you're looking at it, you're not talking of the, there's not young workers that are coming up ready to be able to pay off their debt and that kind of thing. And with student loan debt, and we've talked about it on this program here about how, you know, tuitions just continue to grow and grow and grow. If loans continue to grow and grow and grow, how many people are going to be able to buy houses? How many people are going to be able to buy cars? They're going to be servicing debt right from the get-go, and that's not a good thing.
They're not going to have any money to do anything like that, and therefore they're not going to be able to stimulate the economy.
And if you're not buying homes, well, that doesn't stimulate a lot of different things. The other thing that they talked about with this, household formation has stopped short. Household formation, for example, and if you're sitting here on a household formation, what's that? Well, that's when someone who is living with their parents or living with someone as a guardian, they move out on their own and set up shop. You know, your kid moves out and sets up an apartment or something like that. Well, that's a new household. Well, that's not happening all that quickly now. There's not the sense of somebody renting for the first time or buying a home or things like that. These sorts of things don't allow for the purchase of furniture, appliances. Let's face it, dishes, wastebaskets, all the stupid stuff you need when you set up a house. Because you finally figure out at that point, yeah, soap and toilet paper cost money, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do.
So, I mean, household formation is not something that's been with us at a high rate ever since the crisis. And Fortune magazine saying no sign of a coming recovery in that either. The other thing they talk about is cities can't grow because a lot of exclusionary zoning laws and things like that. Big cities surrounding suburbs have stopped growth. And economic growth is not happening in those regions. Now, I don't know with that. I'm not sure if I necessarily buy it, but there it is. You know, maybe that's something that really should have been looked at. I don't know. But if you look for spots with high-paying jobs and room for growth, there's really not a whole lot going on out there. And here's the other part of the problem, and I think this is the biggest part of the problem we face. The jobs we're creating aren't all that good. Here's what Fortune magazine says, that the unemployment rate's come down, and even median pay has begun to increase slightly. We replaced a lot of middle-income jobs with low-paying ones. The economic recovery has been fueled by low-paying sectors like retail and food services, and if this trend continues, there will be little reason to expect a sustained increase in median pay. And let's face it, if you can't expect to get decent pay, then you're not going to be able to go out and buy things. And we're not talking about, you know, as we were talking about earlier, you know, soap, toilet paper, dish soap, whatever, you know. We're talking about buying things that you want. You know, these are the things where people go, I've got enough money for that game system now.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, or you know what? I've got enough money to buy that that car I've been wanting, and it's a little nicer than what I've got now. Yeah, I'll be able to do that. That sort of thing's not happening. Because particularly, not only with post-college students or whatever, you know, the people first coming out into the workforce, there aren't jobs, and they're paying off loans. How do you take care of that? Well, retail sector, there's jobs there, but you're not going to make a ton of money that way.
And you're not going to pay off your loans very fast either.
And if you don't have enough room in your income to be able to buy things, what does that do for people that make the things you buy or market the things you buy? Stores where they sell the stuff that you buy.
Those places won't be in business very long.
There you go. And we're talking about all sectors. We're talking about people that buy cars, people that go to video game shops, people that, just lining up and rattle it off. There's tons of things that won't be bought. And it's not necessarily something like, well, yachts won't be selling quite as much. You know, okay, yeah. I don't know that there's too many of us that are right now listening going, yeah, I could finance a yacht. And if you can, more power to you. Please go do it tomorrow. Stimulate the economy. But for most of us, if you're talking about a little bit of excess, you might be talking about things like, maybe I can afford to buy this kind of food I always like, but really don't feel like I can afford now. I can afford that. Okay. People won't be doing that. The small things like that. Or the bigger things. Think about entertainment options. How many people will go to the movies?
Sporting events.
Buy tickets to ball games. Exactly. Or Here's the other thing. I mean, when people get to just the point of where they can't afford stuff, they're not going to necessarily say, you know what, I'm going to buy a team sweatshirt or something like that, you know, for the Tigers or Lions or whatever. They're just going to be buying the basics. And they'll be going, you know what? Goodwill's looking pretty good right about now. and you might laugh at that sort of thing, but some people are really going to be doing that. And when things like that happen, that's not going to do anything for job creation. All it's going to do is get this sense in America that we're just kind of, all right, well, we're hunkering down for the next wave of this thing. And I've seen, we had, you know, Mark Cuban had some comments that he'd made, and we shared this a week or two ago, talking about college loan debt, and he considers it another one of these bubbles that's going to burst, and you're going to have people that aren't able to pay for these things. And I don't necessarily know about that because, you know, the government's kind of stepped into that. And, you know, they say, oh, well, we'll take care of it. I don't know. But the one thing that I think we need to look among the many things that we need to look at college affordability. And it's not in what we hear from politicians where, well, we need to make loans a little more available. No, what we need to do is do things like, all right, certain colleges will need to specialize. They'll specialize in things that they're good at. Certain ones will be able to say, all right, you know what? We're really good at training doctors. We're really good at engineering. Well, we're really good at people that do IT. You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other part of it is we've got to look at the cost of college. We've got to look at, and there are some universities that are holding it down, saying, you know what, we're not building, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. And to them, tip of the hat, by all means. But there are universities that are going, you know what, we need to be able to, because, you know, it's, it costs more every year to do this. So, all right, tuition's going up again. And they're trying to hold the line here in the state of Michigan, and bravo for that. But you've got to ask, when universities are building big new buildings and then they're upping their tuition, well, you know, yeah, the building is usually covered by alumni or some major donor that wants to see their name on side of the building. You know, it's the Smith Library or whatever. You know how that works. But let's face it, the Smith Library or whatever you want to call it is going to cost a university money to maintain. You're talking about heating and air conditioning, maintenance work in it. You're talking about janitorial services. You're talking about more people that work inside the building. Guess what? All of those things cost money, and that means, yep, they got to have more money coming in. Tuition increases. This is where some of that comes from. I think, and it's just an idea, but I think universities would be well played in this economy to say, you know what, go to the donors and say, you know what, rather than having your name on the side of the building, how would you like to be responsible for seeing 1,000 more students be able to go into the workforce debt-free? Think about that. Have huge scholarship funds. Find ways for donors and things like that to be able to step up and say, you know what, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand with the students. We're going to make sure that there are scholarships there. And then there's the other hard thing, the very hard thing. When it comes to universities, you need to be able to look at the budget, look at line items and go, do we really need this? And we're talking about programs. We're talking, I mean, you know, why should there be someone able to major in things like Sanskrit?
Underwater basket weaving.
You know, I mean, there's stuff out there. And, you know, underwater basket, we always make that as a joke.
Yeah.
But there's stuff out there. It's time to look at some of that stuff and say, you know what? Maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a cheaper way. It's my 2 cents worth. You know what? Lots more to come on tomorrow's program. We get underway at 3 o'clock, and hopefully you'll be able to join us tomorrow as we have your pre-Independence Day version of the program. Till then, have a good evening.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.